The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Boot computer, list of today's guests, signing in chat room, lining up news articles, checking level, adjusting camera, secure wire connection, restart computer, checking video feed.
With all she's got to do, you'd think Nicole Sandler was a one-woman band. Well, she is, and she's ready for another show. And now, here's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
This woman, E. Jean, said she'd been defamed, so Donald jumped forward without any shame, saying she said that just because she's a Democrat. He said he likes to rape women, just not her type. Accusations like hers are for fame or for hype, as we know all septuagenarians love stuff like that. Now his lawyer, she wasn't up to the task of a federal trial. She didn't know how to ask any questions. She was just used to talking to MAGA rubes. We don't really know when or how she got hired or how she's avoided so far getting fired. We think Don keeps her around just cause he likes her boobs. We'll get him one charge at a time until he pays every time. When the verdict comes, he'll turn from orange to pale. And though he tries real hard to delay, we're gonna make him pay. He'll have to put Mar-a-Lago up for sale.
Aww.
Well, when Fonny charged him in 2023, we halfway expected that he'd up and flee, but he showed up for that mugshot and he just glared. Then he lost some appeals and co-defendants flipped, and his lawyers, they scrambled when he went off script. In his late night post, you can tell then that he was real scared. He kept telling his lies at a feverish pace about the DA and the judge on his big RICO case. He'd get himself all hepped up for a late-night tirade. When his followers threatened the people he tagged, himself and his lawyers together got gagged, and these lawyers had no idea if they'd ever get paid. We'll get him one charge at a time until he pays for all his crimes. When the verdict comes, he'll turn from orange to pale. And though he tries real hard to delay, we're gonna put him away. He'll spend his golden years rotting in jail. In 20, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, if he's still alive.
If he's still
in 20, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, doing hard time.
Oh my goodness. That is the newest one from Patrick Fitzgerald. Just a guy doing song parodies on the YouTubes who's really, really funny. That's a new one. One charge at a time. In the chat room, Environmental Coffee House, who has a show on YouTube you should be watching if you're at all concerned about the climate, the planet, our future. You should watch it. Anyway, she asked, who is this? I'd love to send it to my mom. His name is Patrick Fitzgerald. He's really funny. And that's how we start today. Yeah, good. It's good, right? And I hope you enjoyed Mangy Fetlocks yesterday. I love creative people and those who make us laugh because they're smart and they have their finger on the pulse of what's happening in the country and they're not afraid to opine. You know, too many people are afraid to say what they feel. Look, I know, I've lost a few listeners over the last few months because I do say what I feel. I think it's important to do that. If you're going to, sit before a microphone, you got to do it. And if you're going to piss people off, it comes with the territory, I suppose. So our guest today is someone who also pisses people off. Brian Karam will be joining us at some point. I don't know how long he'll be with us for because today he's got pool duty. I know I said duty. That means, you know, he's one of the few reporters. I don't know who he's traveling with. He said at around showtime, he should be on the tarmac in Los Angeles. And he said, I don't know how long we'll have. I don't know who he's, maybe Biden? Is Biden in LA today? I don't know. I don't know, but I guess we'll find out whenever Brian Karam jumps into the Zoom shot through from his phone because I'll be watching the rest of the time. It's you and me. I hope our audio is better than it's been because I've been tweaking, not twerking, tweaking. Get your head out of the gutter. Or maybe it's just me. I don't know. Anyway, so last night or yesterday were the New Hampshire primaries such as they were. It's not much of a primary season, but that doesn't stop the corporate media from doing their best, and they're off going around the bend. You know, sorry, I'm trying to do a horse race call because that's all they care about. It is so sickening. I mean, it really is. So last night, MSNBC did their election night thing. And I don't know why. It's not like there was any suspense. You know, like when on any other normal election night, there is some suspense. You don't know who's going to win. You don't know who's going to pull ahead. And last night I turned it on. It was after 7 Eastern. So after 5 here, most of the polls in New Hampshire had already closed, but a few stay open till late, I guess. So they couldn't call it then. But, you know, Steve Kornacki at the big board had his, you know, tabulations and what he showed with 4% of the state in, Nikki Haley was in the lead. I saw somebody tweeted out a screenshot of that and said, stop the count! Stop the count! Nikki won! Because, you know, that's Donald Trump's rationalization for how he won 2020. You know, when it has him up momentarily, stop counting! I guess he learned that from the 2000 election in the Supreme Court. Just stop counting. When your head stopped counting, declare victory and game over. I guess that only works if you're a Republican. Anyway, MSNBC had all their, all their peeps on the panel. And as if there was anything we didn't know going into it. I guess there was. One, I didn't bring this image up. Let me see if I can find it. Because what most people don't realize, I think, is that even though Joe Biden was not on the ballot in New Hampshire, you know, he wasn't on the ballot in New Hampshire, right? There was a Democratic primary last night as well. Now, why wasn't Joe Biden on the ballot? Well, because a little kerfuffle with the, oh, did I not put it here? Damn it. I hate when I do that. Sorry, I'm computer challenged. I saved it to the wrong place, so I have no idea where it is. But they showed, it was a screenshot, damn it, from MSNBC showing the breakdown of the vote in the Democratic New Hampshire primary, where Joe, and I'll have to do this from memory. My memory is not really good. I have long-term loss of short-term memory. It's the legal weed here in Arizona, in case you're wondering. And no, I don't ever smoke during the day before I do a show. So just, it's not that. It's just, you know, the atrophy of the brain cells, I guess. But Joe Biden, through a write-in campaign, garnered over 60% of the vote. Dean Phillips, yeah, he was on the ballot. I want to say he got, damn it, I'm gonna do a search here because now it's gonna bug me, and I hate to give out wrong information. I know some people don't mind doing that, but Democratic New Hampshire primary results, and let's see if it brings it up. Okay. Close. Joe Biden, with a write-in candidacy only, got 55.7% of the vote. Now, let's put this in perspective, shall we? Donald Trump, going all in on Iowa, only got 51% of the Republican caucus voters, right? 51% of his available universe. And, you know, he was a full-fledged candidate. Joe Biden didn't campaign in New Hampshire as such because he wasn't on the ballot. And the reason he wasn't on the ballot We talked about this a little bit yesterday. You know, he was trying to give Jim Clyburn a favor, a payback, as it were. And in politics, there's a lot of payback for basically, you know, upending the 2020 primary field, Democratic primary field, in his favor. So Joe Biden was trying to do one for South Carolina because they ensured his win last time. And it was, so the DNC, it was a thing, and Joe Biden wasn't on the ballot. Dean Phillips was. I know. Who's Dean Phillips? He's someone with a D next to his name who was running. He got 19.6% of the vote. There's an unprocessed write-in that garnered 10.1% of the vote. And Marianne Williamson got 4.6%. Now, you know, anyone who, and we've got a couple of listeners, regulars to this show, one in particular who's not in our chat anymore. And I guess it's because I've chided him for his support of Marianne Williamson. Let me state it plainly. I like Marianne Williamson. I think she's a lovely person. I've interviewed her a few times over the years. She's just not ready to be president. She wants to get into politics. Run for Congress, Marianne. Learn about government. Don't think you can just step right in and become president. You're not Donald Trump, nor do we want you to be. So she placed fourth after unprocessed write-in. There were other people on the ballot, too. Derek Nadeau, Vermin Supreme, John Vail, Donald Picard, Paperboy Prince, Paul LaCava, Jason Palmer, President Boddy. And these have less than 0.1%. So I'm not even going to go down the line, but a lot of names on that Democratic ballot. Wow. RFK Jr. was not. And I'm guessing, I think he's running third party now, or is an independent or something. I don't know. But anyway, Joe Biden ran away with it. My math sucks. 55.7%. Second place finisher was 19.5%. Joe Biden wasn't campaigning. Donald Trump beat Nikki Haley by about 11 points. You know, just saying, just giving you the facts, just the facts, ma'am. So anyway, that was the, this is with 96% of the precincts reporting. So Joe Biden handily won the New Hampshire primary, despite the fact that he was not on the ballot. It's interesting for a number of reasons, including the, like the idiot on Fox, not news, Jesse Waters, who said, I don't think I pulled his audio, but he said something to the effect of, Joe Biden can't even win in New Hampshire. Excuse me. Not only did he win his primary race, in which he wasn't on the ballot, he won New Hampshire in 2020. He beat Donald Trump in New Hampshire in 2020. But you see, I guess being on TV means you can say whatever the hell you want to say. And such was the case last night. I got to play this for you because this is astounding. You know, I haven't watched CNN in a while. We used to go back and forth between CNN and MSNBC, and it was sort of like a contest as to which was worse. Kind of like the contest I've told you about when I was a kid, you know, when our family celebrated Hanukkah and we'd light the candles and each of us would pick a color candle to bet on which one would burn down the fastest. It's kind of like that. It was to see which one could be more egregious in their coverage. And so last night, on CNN, well, let me back up a little bit. First, Nikki Haley gives her her concession speech, which sounded more like a victory speech. I don't have the video, but I do have audio. And here's what she said.
Most Americans do not want a rematch between Biden and Trump.
Most Americans. Okay.
The first party to retire its 80-year-old candidate is going to be the party that wins this election.
Okay, well, we know what that is, right?
Bullshit.
Right, it's bullshit. She doesn't know that. It's just nonsense. It's just something for her to say because she's younger than the two men who will likely be the major party nominees. Over on CNN, there's a woman named Abby Phillip. And Abby Phillip, I guess, was given her own show after, I don't know, she said something that was relatively smart at one point. And so the new powers that be at CNN said, oh, I know, let's give her a show. So they did. So Abby Phillip goes on CNN last night and says this.
You know, so, as Nikki Haley put it, I think it's actually such a smart way to put it.
Smart.
Maybe the first party to let go of their 80-year-old might be the victor, but who's going to be the one to move first? Yeah. And I think that's where we are as a country. And
what?
That's why this is kind of such an intractable problem. Nobody wants Trump. Nobody wants Biden.
What did you say? She said, nobody wants Trump. Well, that's not true because the maggots want Trump. There are plenty of people who, as batshit crazy as it is, plenty of people who want Trump. And nobody wants Biden? Excuse me. Of course, I took to the shitter, the site formerly known as Twitter, and sort of tore her a new one, although she won't notice mine because someone else did that first. Keith Olbermann. Keith Olbermann last night heard what she said and said and tweeted out or shitted out, as the case may be, CNN has to address the reality that at Abby, A-B-B-Y, D. Phillip, with is it two L's? I think. That Abby D. Phillip has been an absolute disaster. And that this foot and mouth editorial is the first thing she's gotten noticed for since her show debuted. And rather than saying, point taken, although he did say it kind of clumsily, but rather than saying, point taken, Keith, yeah, that was a really stupid thing for me to say, her response to him was, or you can come to terms with the reality of your irrelevance and stop being a nasty social media troll. But that's entirely up to you. Really? Oh, my goodness. is it all about that? Is it all the who can one-up the other one? There was so much inanity being bandied about yesterday. One of my favorites, and I don't know if this was, yeah, this was yesterday. It was yesterday during the day. So Trump was out, trying to drum up some votes, not 11,000 or anything, because that he does after the fact when he loses. This time he wasn't going to lose the New Hampshire primary. But so he's out. He's in Londonderry, New Hampshire. And a reporter asks him a question about the borders, because, that's their big paper tiger right now. That's the issue. The borders. Everyone's dying of fentanyl overdoses because the borders. Meanwhile, Joe Biden has offered a deal on border security that the House is looking like they will not take. It's the best deal they're going to get, whether Joe Biden's in the White House or a Republican is in the White House, because again, you have to get the Senate and the House to go along with it. The Senate brokered this deal. The Senate already agreed to it. And it's stronger border security than, it's what they've been asking for. But the House Democrats are saying they won't vote for it because it would give Joe Biden a win. Honestly, I don't know what the answer is to that. It's just... like my mother used to say, don't cut off your nose to spite your face. I thought it was a ridiculous saying when I was a little kid because I had no idea what she was talking about. But that's exactly what she was talking about. In Norm Iron, it's called Derry. I shouldn't look at the chat room because sometimes I come in mid-conversation. Anyway, what? Yes. Hold on. You can now talk into that microphone.
It's not that the House Democrats won't vote for to give Joe Biden a win. It's the Republicans.
Of course.
You just said the House Democrats.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Republicans. Sometimes I say the wrong things. Sometimes the brain and the tongue don't connect very well. It's a misfire. The House Republicans don't want to give Joe Biden a win. Of course it's the House Republicans. It's always the House Republicans. Anyway, sorry about that. That's why David's here, to keep me honest. Anyway, Donald Trump, the former guy, is out in Londonderry, New Hampshire, and a reporter asks him something about, you know, the borders. And listen to this bit of bullshit.
They're coming into our country, and a lot of terrorists are coming in. What? This is really bad. I heard somebody yesterday say 100% happened to be Sean Hannity. Did you ever hear of Sean Hannity? He said 100% certain that there'll be some horrible acts, terror acts, and that's the answer. It's 100%.
What?
It's 100%. The people coming into our country, it's 100% certain, and we have to have fair elections.
What?
Thank you for this.
The northern border.
100% certainty? Because, hold on. Sean Hannity said it. Now, the only way Sean Hannity could be 100% certain there's going to be a terrorist attack is if he were part of it. That's how you get 100% certainty. But according to Donald Trump, if Sean Hannity said it, it's 100% sure. Didn't Sean Hannity say that Donald Trump was like a fucking moron or something? Didn't Sean Hannity totally destroy him? Things that we learned about when I got all blurry all of a sudden. Things that we learned about during the Dominion voting systems defamation lawsuit against Fox, when we got all kinds of private texts and communications between the Fox anchors and other concerned Republicans who were concerned because Donald Trump is a fucking moron. And it says shit like that. 100% certainty there's going to be a terrorist attack because people are coming over the southern border. You know what? I haven't done it in a while, but Donald, I got a song for you.
I just need you to shut the fuck up because nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow.
My favorite song, especially when I'm aiming it at Donald Trump. So, so last night, again, I didn't take any of Nikki Haley's speech, whatever it was. I mean, she lost. She didn't lose by as big a margin as Donald Trump was saying she did from his victory speech. But it was bigger than she wanted to lose by. I mean, she didn't want to lose at all, obviously. But apparently the Nikki Haley camp was hoping they'd keep it to single digits, giving her an excuse to continue on and go to South Carolina where she could sleep in her own bed. Go figure, she can rest up during the campaigning. Meanwhile, no one's talking about the fact that the Nevada caucuses are in between what happened last night and the South Carolina primary, because caucuses don't count. Oh, because it's Nevada, which is not going to go for Trump. I got it. Okay, maybe that's why. And I say that with 100% certainty. Not really. I just felt like saying that. Anyway, Donald Trump gets up on stage and is making his victory speech. And this man does not understand the meaning of being a gracious winner. Gracious is not part of Donald Trump's very fine words and his, you know, huge vocabulary of 12. He's got about 12 words. Right. Very fine people. Yeah. And so there he was. His headquarters were in Nashua, New Hampshire. a town that I did not live far from. Anyway, he brings up on stage, if you look behind him, well, aside from his dotard son, Eric, there's two people standing behind him. Here, let me just bring up the screenshot for those of you watching a video. There's Vivek Ramaswamy and Tim, or is it Uncle Tom Scott? Yeah. And they're both pretty despicable characters. And of course, there's Eric. But anyway, he can't just leave it alone. He's got to go after Nikki Haley.
Renovation. These are very dishonest people, and you're always fighting them. And just a little note to Nikki.
Yeah?
She's not going to win. She's not going to win. But if she did, she would be under investigation by those people in 15 minutes. And I could tell you five.
Wait a minute. I thought presidents have immunity. I guess only Donald Trump.
Reasons why already. Not big reasons. A little stuff that she doesn't want to talk about. But she will be under investigation within minutes. And so would Ron have been. But he decided to get out. He decided to get out. Now, Vivek, I don't think would be at all because he's perfect, right?
Oh, puke. What did they used to say? Gag me with a spoon. I didn't even need a spoon there. I'm gagging. But Tim Scott is back there, yes, smiling. And why? Because he knew his turn was coming, that Donald was gonna make him look really, really stupid, which is not very hard. I mean, with his big smile. Oh, my God. I couldn't write this stuff if I tried. Here, just listen.
Two great senators, which is hard. I mean, did you ever think that she actually appointed you, Tim?
She appointed.
And think of it.
Hold on. So what he's saying, this the one true thing he said, Nikki Haley was governor of South Carolina when the senator, I forget who it was, died, I think. And she appointed Tim Scott to fill that seat. And he subsequently then won re-election. Tim Scott would not be a senator from South Carolina if not for Nikki Haley. Got it? Okay, so now with that in context, let's back it up a second, and here we go.
And think of it. Appointed, and you're the senator of his state, and she endorsed me. You must really hate her.
Wait a minute.
No, it's a shame. It's a shame. Uh-oh.
I just love you.
No, that's oh. That's why he's a great politician.
Oh. Oh, my God. You see, you have to laugh. Because the alternative to laughing, you know, is crying. And oh my God, I just don't know. So that happened. Yeah. I don't know what you say to that. What do you say to that? You say these people are out of their fucking minds. So I'm just going to play this because with, you know, the Biden campaign is finally stepping up its game. They finally realize that, they're not running in a primary. He's the incumbent. And to all the Democrats out there saying, we don't have a choice. When the incumbent of your party says they're going to run for re-election, they're very rarely primaried. And when they are, the only thing it serves to do is torpedo the party's chance of retaining the presidency. You don't challenge an incumbent. Whether you wanted Joe Biden to run again or not, doesn't matter. He decided to run again, and you saw what happened last night in New Hampshire. No one is going to take him on in his party. No one's serious anyway. It's just the way it's always worked. Not that that is a reasonable excuse for things being the way they've always been, but it is. Anyway, but the Biden team has finally, you know, realized that they need to be the super fast response people so that when one of these idiots says something idiotic, they need their video team to be on top of it to cut it up and have it online within 15 minutes. And, well, I don't know if this is an official ad or if Joe Biden just approved this message, because why wouldn't he? But they put this out pretty quickly a couple of days ago.
Last night, Trump is at a rally.
You know, Nikki Haley.
And he's going on and on mentioning me multiple times as to why I didn't handle January 6th better.
Nikki Haley is in charge of security. We offered her 10,000 people. They don't want to talk about that.
I wasn't in office then. They're saying he got confused.
You have voter ID to buy a loaf of bread. You have ID to buy a loaf of bread.
What?
What?
What is? I'm driving over
the road. You don't have ID.
Where it's almost all paper. And you know, you can see paper. I know paper. I know cans.
But all the time now, we see whales washing up on shore because of the wind.
Our veterans don't have cell phones, do they?
He got confused. He got confused and said he was running against Obama. He never ran against Obama.
And we did with Obama.
What?
He won an election that everyone said couldn't be won.
Obama doesn't want to talk about it.
Well, you mean President Biden.
Don't put our country at risk like this.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
You know, if it wasn't an ad, it should be. And then you got Dump. Yeah, you may not, if maybe you weren't with me. When Donald Trump first emerged back, you know, it came down the escalator in 2015, I came up with the perfect nickname for him. It's just a contraction, like wasn't, was not, is contracted to wasn't. Right? You do away with the O and you put an apostrophe and it combine the two words. So Donald Trump became Dump. D'UMP. Perfect. It's a perfect description. It just never caught on. I don't know why. Anyway, so all that is going on. And I was going to play something here for you and I totally lost my train of thought because that happens occasionally. It's a function of old age, I think. Anyway, there's news. I'm distracted because I'm looking to see if I've heard from Brian Karam, which I have not. So I'm wondering if things are heating up on the tarmac and he hasn't been able to log in. But you know what? This is par for the course. This is how this week has been going. And I had somebody who was a no-show on Monday. He came in yesterday. It shit happens. Bring you up to date on the news. There are some really, well, depending on how you look at it, some really exciting news that broke today. And that is from sort of the intersection of show business and politics. By the way, the phone lines are open. I think they're working today. I know they weren't working the last time some of you people tried calling in. I did a lot of work on the studio over the last couple of days. And so hopefully the sound is much better and everything should be working today as I knock on wood laminate. We'll see. So someone call so we can test the lines anyway. Anyway, here's the big news. You ready? In fact, it's so big. I think I need a drum roll. Do I have it? Here we go. You know how The Daily Show has not announced their new host? And then we heard an inkling that it's going to be just a continual rotating panel of either comedians or all the correspondents on The Daily Show. Well, here's the news. Jon Stewart. I'm not kidding. Jon Stewart is returning to The Daily Show next month, 9 years after he retired. He will return as executive producer and to host the show one day a week. I guess he saw that MSNBC is doing it. Rachel Maddow and what's her name? Jen Psaki do Monday nights. Jen Psaki takes over Chris Hayes' perch at 8 o'clock on Monday nights. Rachel Maddow takes over, well, it was Rachel's show. And I guess Alex Wagner fills in Tuesday through Friday, and Rachel just does Monday. And now, Jon Stewart, beginning February 12th, put it in your calendar, February 12th, Jon Stewart will host The Daily Show every Monday night. And he will executive produce the show while a rotating lineup of comedians host the program Tuesdays through Thursdays, because Daily Show doesn't work on Fridays. It doesn't work on Fridays. All right. All right. To the phones. Let's test this line and see how it's sounding. Hello.
This is David in North Miami Beach.
Hi, David. How are you?
Hi. Good to hear your voice. I'm just sorry I won't get to hear your imitations of Casey DeSantis anymore with her being about to cry about how wonderful her husband is.
Oh, like your but didn't you hear the latest from Casey DeSantis? Casey DeSantis will not fly commercial.
Did you hear
how much money Ron, the governor of Florida, spent on private planes? And now we know why. Because Casey, with her white gloves and her Jackie Onassis wannabe style, doesn't fly commercial.
Oh. Not even first class. Heaven forbid, on someone else's dime.
Oh, my God.
These are the great intellects that have been ruining our beloved state for several years now and have no sign of improvement. I mean, I may have to do a parody governor campaign again just to break the mood, because, you know, there's a real chance John Morgan, the super lawyer, is running, you know, Charlie Crist's old
boss.
Oh,
really? I'd like to see John Morgan, John Morgan and Morgan law firm.
Absolutely.
He is a Democrat. And, you know, he's the one who really got medical marijuana passed in Florida. Right. He put a lot of his own money into it because someone in his family had cancer.
His brother.
So that's good. Good. Better than any of the Florida Democrats in the Florida state legislature.
Well, yes, absolutely. I mean, I might run for mayor again this year, like I did briefly last year, but I had to cut it short to make sure there was no runoff, because we don't believe in instant runoffs here in North Miami Beach, where we have no beach. So we have a perfectly sane mayor in the Evan Piper.
Okay, you're talking about something that nobody else knows anything about.
I know.
About.
I'm just pointing out how decisions had to be made last year because there was no other races going on. But as we count down in November, local races will be drowned out by the state and the national races.
What else is new?
So decisions have to be made accordingly.
Okay.
So if you ever want to pull a Phyllis Hedley and, you know, call me in because your regular guest is missing, I'm almost always listening.
Okay.
So happy New Year and
take
care.
Thank you, David. Take care. And the phone line sounded good. Yeah, David had a campaign for mayor of North Miami. Somebody, nobody cares. It wasn't real. Nobody cares. Okay. Sorry. I try not to be mean, but sometimes I am. I'm just a bitch, and I apologize for that. At least I'm honest about it. Speaking of bitches... That's mean. That's really mean. And this is a segue. I was going to talk about something else, Florida. So before I come on the air each weekday afternoon, it's now 3 o'clock here in Arizona, but I'm on the Progressive Voices Network. And so I monitor Progressive Voices so that we're in sync, so that I hear the show that's on before me is Randy Rhodes. And so I hear the last 5 to 15 minutes of Randy's show most days when I don't have to turn it down. And today she was talking about something that I've been telling you about, the homeowners insurance crisis in Florida. Number one, you cannot get flood insurance in Florida. You can get wind insurance, but if you have damage from a hurricane, they're going to tell you it's from the water, not from the wind. You can't get homeowners insurance. And if you do, be prepared to pay out the ass or through the nose or whatever the analogy is. So here's what Randy said, that her homeowner's insurance used to be $750 a year. Reasonable. You know, it's Florida, hurricane country, as is the whole eastern seaboard, as is the whole Gulf of Mexico and all the states around it. Everywhere is hurricane country now because climate change. Hello. But the insurance companies, even though there hasn't been a major storm in South Florida in a few years, much more damage, say, in New York and in Boston from the nor'easters and things like that. Doesn't matter. So what Randy said was her homeowner's insurance was $750 a year. Now, this crisis began under Rick Scott, who now is a U.S. senator because he served 2 years as governor from Florida and was term limited out. And then he ran for Senate and he won against Bill Nelson, go figure, because Bill was such a charismatic guy. Anyway, as is Rick Scott, Voldemort, as I call him. Anyway, he did nothing about the insurance crisis. So DeSantis comes in and also ignores the problem, calls special sessions where instead of dealing with the property insurance crisis, he enacts legislation disallowing people from talking about being gay in schools. Don't say gay, or being anti-woke, or, you know, crap like that. Meanwhile, what Randy said is her insurance kept going up, and then in the last year it doubled. It doubled, so it was went to $9,000 a year last year. She just got her insurance bill for the next year because, you know, it's a new year. $15,000. And that does not include flood insurance. Have I told you that people are leaving Florida, that people cannot get insurance? I ran into an old friend of mine, a friend from the music industry, before I left Florida. Actually ran into him at the Michael Franti concert that I took my daughter to before I left town. And so my friend Chris, big time music, radio, radio people don't make money, record company executive who is based in Nashville. But he's a scuba diver. In fact, Chris and I have been scuba diving together in Cancun and in the Bahamas at different music industry events back in the days when I had a job that allowed me to do those kind of things. Anyway, Chris moved to Fort Lauderdale, and he has a house just off of Las Olas, like right a couple of blocks from the beach. And he's telling me this, and I said, how do you get insurance? He said, I don't have insurance. I cannot get homeowner's insurance. And then he explained his house is one of the few on his block in his neighborhood that has not been renovated, has not been knocked down and rebuilt, you know, because the McMansions went up everywhere. It's one of the original Florida houses from, you know, decades earlier. And he said the house isn't worth anything. It's the property that's expensive. So I don't have any insurance on the house. If it goes, it goes. It's not the house that's valuable. Well, aside from the things that are in the house. But that's how people are living in Florida right now. You cannot get homeowner's insurance. It just won't happen. It is impossible. So anyway, that's that. I have a feeling Brian Karam is not joining us today. I'm going to pull up my email just to see if there's any chance I got a message from him or anything. Oh, man. So Microsoft is doing this thing, and it's signing you into the new Outlook. Oh, good. It said we detected a problem. We can't sign you in to the new Outlook. So good. Nothing from Brian. I wonder where he is. Maybe, I don't know, maybe couldn't get a, I don't know, I don't know. Maybe couldn't get a signal. Who knows? Whatever. He'll come back another day. We've got a lot to talk about. Oh, by the way, I do have something else to bit of housekeeping. If you subscribe to the podcast, the Nicole Sandler Show podcast, I've changed my podcast hosting company. I got fed up with Zencastr. So I'm migrating my show to the Spotify podcast network. I don't know how long it'll be there, but we'll see. So if you have trouble downloading the show in the next day or two, it's because everything is porting over to Spotify from Zencastr. You can always get the show. Again, no paywall. You can always get the show through my website, NicoleSandler.com. I post it there every day. Both the video, which you can also get on YouTube, on Shitter, on Facebook, on Twitch. Does anybody use Twitch? I don't know. But it's available in a bunch of places. So if you usually get the podcast downloaded to your computer because you subscribe to the podcast and you didn't get it yesterday, that was on Zencastr. If you don't get it today, it's because we've moved. So give me a couple of days. But again, you can always get it from the website. It is posted there each and every day. All right, so there's that. What else? I told you about Jon Stewart. Oh, let's talk Oscars, shall we? And you're welcome to call in. By the way, tomorrow's Thursday. Howie Klein, I think, will be back. So, you know, he was away. He took a vacation over the holidays. He actually went to India. And what he told me is on the plane ride on the way back, he got COVID. So he had it bad, apparently. But I did notice he went out to a restaurant for dinner, so I'm guessing he's feeling better, which leads me to believe he'll be back tomorrow. So we got that going for us. And then Friday, of course, Marcy Wheeler, because we do Empty Wheel Fridays these days. And this week, I'll tell you, that's the main reason I fixed the audio on it with Zoom calls, because it was killing me to have Marcy Wheeler here every week and not have her audio being crystal clear was truly a travesty. So fingers crossed for this Friday. I make no guarantees, of course. But anyway, there's that. So I have not been back to the movie theaters since COVID, except for two movies. I saw two movies in theaters since COVID. The first was Oppenheimer, which led the nominations. The nominations for the 96th Academy Awards were revealed yesterday. And Oppenheimer led the Oscar nominations with 13. There's a movie called Poor Things that I'm hearing a lot about. I don't even know if it's playing in the theaters again, because I'm not really going to the theaters. But that picked up 11. But the other movie that we saw in the theater since the pandemic was Barbie, because, and again, I didn't go opening weekend. It wasn't until after the buzz and everyone was saying how great it was. And frankly, Allison, my daughter, told me it was really good. So we went to see Barbie. And I liked it. David hated it. But it's so interesting how life imitates art. So back to the Oscar nominations. Poor Things, starring Emma Stone, had 11 nominations. The Martin Scorsese drama Killers of the Flower Moon, which now is streaming if you have Apple Plus. It's streaming on that Apple channel. And we started watching it. And about an hour into it, when there were still over 2 hours to go, David said, "This is just boring." And we turned it off. I'll probably go back and finish watching it because I've watched a lot of boring movies. But I so far don't get it. That movie received 10 nominations. Barbie got 8. However, it did not receive, Margot Robbie did not get a nomination for Best Actress. She was Barbie. She was perfect. Whether you like the movie or not, she was great. Greta Gerwig, the director who presided over the biggest film of the year, a movie that took in over $1 billion worldwide, was a cultural phenomena. She did not get a nomination, but Ryan Gosling did for portraying Ken. Now, do you remember? Do you remember the whole premise of the movie was that it's a man's world, to paraphrase a James Brown song. I don't even think I'm paraphrasing it there. It's a James Brown song. The world exists for men, of, by, and for men. That is the premise of the film. And Barbie and the women say, hell no, we're going to stand up and we're going to take... And Ryan Gosling was nominated for Best Supporting Actor. By the way, America Ferrera, it was a surprise nomination. She was nominated for Best Supporting Actress. And she was pretty good. But, you know, how could... I'm still kind of shocked that neither Greta, because we're on the first name basis here, Greta nor Margot Robbie were nominated. I think that's a travesty. So all that, it is somewhat of a paradox. I don't get it. But then again, I don't get a lot of things in today's world. I don't know. I'm trying to look at the... You guys in the chat room are having a whole conversation here. Rick Smith says Barbarella was a better... was a better movie. Barbarella was like 50 years ago. Come on, we're in the 2000s now. You know? We are. There's that. All right. I don't know. Oh, I know what the other thing I was going to show you. So one of the things, I'm going to go back to, since you guys aren't calling, 954-889-6410 is the number. Or if you're on Skype, you can Skype in to Nicole Sandler. Spocko called. Spocko, why am I not getting your calls? Let's try it this way. Hello?
Hello?
There you are. Hi. There's Spocko.
I've been trying to call in.
Oh, you know what? Because I have to, unless I happen to have the pod up where I hear the ringer, as what happened when David called from North Miami Beach, I've got to see it out of the corner of my eye, and I wasn't seeing it. And then I pulled up the phone thing, and I saw that you had called. So anyway, here you are.
I'm here, and I'd like to have some exciting, fun news.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that there would be a E. Jean Carroll update today.
No. Well, there should be, right? Because
they paused it. It's not going to be again until Thursday.
Oh, so, Thursday tomorrow.
Yes, as in okay. Tomorrow. That's the current status.
Do you know the reason why it was postponed in the first place, allegedly, is because one, a juror got sick, but two, Alina Habba Habba said that her parents both got COVID, so she was exposed. Meanwhile, she's telling the judge this sitting next to Donald Trump. However, that's not bad enough. She was at his campaign headquarters in New Hampshire yesterday because... she was exposed to COVID. So, you know, watch it be a super spreader. Watch everybody in there get it because she's infected.
Was she wearing a mask?
No. No,
of course
not. We
don't
wear masks. We don't need no stinking masks.
It was great fun just to see the whole process go out. And he sat there and like was whispering her. It was just, again, another delay tactic.
Yeah.
So I find it ridiculous. The thing that I wanted to do, and it is something that I have talked about a lot, and this is, you know, not exciting, but it is one of the things that I talked about to Glenn Kirshner about this, which is this case, the focus should be on the fact that Donald Trump has been is sexually assaulted and defamed E. Jean Carroll.
Yes.
And Glenn did a little video about this, talking about how this is something that the judge, Judge Kaplan, said to the jury, that says, in order to sit on this jury, you need to be able to accept as a fact that Donald Trump has sexually assaulted and defamed E. Jean Carroll. And he said none of the jurors, you know, had a problem with that. And he seems to think that this is something that, you know, regular people who are even Donald Trump supporters accept that, you know, as a fact that that's happening. And I said, you know, who is your audience for this? I mean, we believe this, and the Trump people seem to think it's okay, that it's no big deal, because Trump keeps going on after the trial. He lies right in the hallway and says, I don't know the person. I don't know anything.
He keeps defaming her.
And that, in fact,
her.
Gets through to people. And so one of the things that happened was the E. Jean Carroll lawyers put together a bunch of his new lies and submitted them to the judge, say, here's how he continued to defame her on the entire,
right,
you know, 40 different times on his Truth Social. And it's going to add to the cost of his defamation.
Of course.
The defamation case. And I said to Glenn, well, that's great, but he's not going to stop. I mean, it could be an eye-popping amount. It could be, you know, $500 million, $1 billion.
Right.
And it won't stop him.
No.
And he says the only thing that would stop him would to have him be detained pre-trial for this. And he said the Justice Department doesn't seem to have the, what's the word?
Cojones.
What would you say?
The testicular fortitude.
to carry this out.
Well, so, but think about it, Spocko. If they did imprison him, as they would any other citizen, right, who pulled this kind of shit, right? If they did, the maggots would go nuts. And there would be violence. You know, Marcy Wheeler, you heard her on Friday, said there is a non-zero chance that there will be political violence in 2024. This would exacerbate it. This would speed it up.
I'm trying to say I agree, but at the same time, I think that it needs to happen. And we need, not the violence, but there needs to be the follow-up. I did a post today, it's up on Digby's right now, that talks about a group called Task Force Butler that takes action against neo-Nazi groups like the Patriot Front that threaten people online and in person. And it's a great organization, and they do very specifically how you go about and bust these people. And I did a kind of a joke post about it. You might have seen this online. It is the Patriot Front went to New York and they got hung up by trying to go through some turnstiles in New York City. So I took the famous clip from Blazing Saddles where Slim Pickens goes, somebody go back and get a whole shitload of dimes. And then I ended it with the great clip from Gene Wilder saying to Cleavon Little, it says, you know, they're the common clay of the New West, you know, morons.
Yes.
So I like the funniness tied with the fact that here's a group that has a great process to go about holding the people responsible, not, you know, Donald Trump, but all the people who threaten people online, in person, show up at their house and threaten them. This is the process that we need to do, because otherwise it just keeps happening. So again, that's up at Hullabaloo and Digby's blog.
Digby'sblog.net is where you access Digby's blog these days. So definitely we'll check that out. I read Digby's blog every day. As we should. So I will go look for that. Spocko, you hear the music playing. We're just about out of time. So we will do this again soon.
Great. Thanks.
In fact, thank you. Thanks, Spocko, everybody. Howie Klein tomorrow. because it's Thursday and hopefully the COVID has gone bye-bye. So fingers crossed, knock on wood laminate. See you tomorrow. Thanks, everyone. Peace out.